Welcome to You Are From God, where we open the Bible and learn to see the image of God in ourselves and the people around us. I'm Scott Taylor.
And I'm Tyler Hall. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for joining. We are glad that you are back for another episode. Scott and I are here to continue our series on seeing God's image in our relationship. As we've been going through this series the past couple of episodes, we've really been stressing the idea of looking for God's image to show up in our everyday relationships, whether that be within our family or with the people that we work with, or as we talk about here, the people we worship with. And we're also looking to display God's image, to be reminded that we are also showing who Jesus is to the other people in these relationships. And in that way, God's image is very much present in between every person that we come in contact with and ourselves. So today we want to look at what this looks like in the church, God's image in your fellow believers. And Scott, I just think this is really one of the premises of why Jesus, as the wisdom of God and God the Father, established the church the way that they did. This is how God is using his people to build up the body in love. And it's when we recognize Jesus's work in our own lives, and when we're living that way, we are his body. We're serving one another. We're taking care of one another. Sometimes that means I need to rely on the body to come to my aid. And other times it means I'm stepping in and taking action with what I have at my disposal and being able to love and serve those in the body. We see this very early on in the history of the church in Acts chapter 2, where once there are this initial influx of believers after Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost, we see how these first disciples are acting and treating one another. Acts 2:42 beginning reads this way, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." It's awesome to read about God's plan coming to fruition here at the beginning of the church and to see, Scott, what God intends for his people to look like. This beautiful harmony and fellowship and communion with one another. And verse 44, I think, is a really big piece of this to really zoom in on. And it simply just says, all who believed were together and had all things in common. That doesn't mean they were all cookie cutters. That doesn't mean they were all clones of each other and had the same tastes and the same backgrounds and the same hobbies or interests. But the same idea comes up later on in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, where it says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that anything of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common." So much so that they're willing to share what they have and their belongings to help one another where there is need. And it's just this beautiful picture of what it means to have all things in common. When we are in Christ in his body, we are sharing something far deeper than an interest or a hobby or where we were born or raised. This is the deepest sense of self, an understanding of our Savior, and that we've all, in this fellowship of believers, have been brought back into a relationship with God. That should really inform and influence how I'm looking at my fellow believers in Christ and how I am displaying Christ to them.
It's interesting when you think about Acts 2 and then Acts 4 that you're dealing with the Jewish people and the fact that they had all things in common. What they didn't understand, at least at this point, was this is actually opening the door to all people. And we're studying Isaiah. If you have studied Isaiah, you certainly see a lot of prophecy that's talking about bringing the Gentiles in or other nations in. And you continue in the book of Acts and you get to that point where Cornelius now is going to be added, and the apostles get upset with Peter, and then Peter explains to them what happened. And so they understand that salvation has now gone to the Gentiles. And You think about different passages. Romans, the third chapter, as an example, verse 29, he says, "Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also." And Tyler, the interesting thing and why I bring that up is that it's a unique perspective that we need to understand that they would have had, that the Jews were the chosen ones. Now all of a sudden you're opening a door to other people, and they would be sitting in a church building with you, and they would have a different nationality, or they would have different backgrounds and different for them, more pagan backgrounds and maybe more pagan traditions that they would have had to be working through. And yet the scriptures will tell us we have all things in common. And it's because of Jesus. And so when we think about this idea that we want to be like this and we want to see the image of God and all of the brothers and sisters in Christ that are around us, we also need to understand that there are differences, but there's a lot more things that we have in common than different. And that one thing that we have in common is greater than all things, which is Jesus Christ. And that's why I think about Philippians, the first chapter, going really through the whole book of Philippians, where one of the things that happens is we do notice the differences. We do notice the things that divide us. We do notice those things, and we're more apt to focus on them rather than truly seeing what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. And so Philippians, one of my favorite things about this is his use of encouragement and how he gained encouragement or gleaned encouragement from those that were around him and those that were studying and worshiping God and brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world at this time, here specifically in Philippi, that was bringing him encouragement. It wasn't about competition. It wasn't about being better than anybody else. It was understanding that we all are his image bearers and we can encourage and edify one another. But that doesn't mean that there's not issues that come up, Tyler. And that's what's so interesting about Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 2. He mentions these two women here, and he tells them they needed to live in harmony in the Lord. And so it doesn't mean that there's not things that don't come up, but it does mean that I'm going to look at the person that I may be having a disagreement with as still as a bearer of the image of God, and I'm going to treat them as such, and I'm going to have the right attitude towards them, and I'm going to strive for harmony with them as we strive through whatever the issue may be that we're dealing with. And I think that's such a powerful lesson for me, for all of us, if we really take a step back and realize this isn't about me winning an argument. This isn't about some competition that I'm in or me being better than other people. This is about all of us having a relationship with God and looking at one another as the true brothers and sisters we can be as God's children if we choose to be his children.
Yeah, and that's such an important piece to understand. The example from Acts, whatever the disagreement was that was needing to be addressed here with Euodians and Tyche and Philippians 4, there are going to be things that come up that we need to work through. I mean, Jesus is opening the door to everyone, as been mentioned already. And so there's going to be people that have this tension that they need to work through and come to this peace and fellowship that only comes from Jesus. I was reminded of what fellowship in Christ truly looks like, Scott, from an image recently that I saw, just the idea of a bicycle wheel, that if you want to be connected to that inner axle, that thing that makes the bike go, and you're part of the tire, these pieces around it, you need the spokes to connect you. But if the spokes are at different lengths or if they're poking in different directions, that wheel is going to fall apart very quickly. That's not what real unity looks like. So we all have to be connected to the real Jesus. That's the teachings of Jesus, the sound doctrine that comes from his word, and that's where we find the unity. The powerful thing, which I think is so awesome, but this is where the troubles can sometimes also come in, is the idea that that's where we get our unity, is that doctrine, but there's a lot of room for opinion. And that's what Romans chapter 14 and 15 really talks about, as Paul's addressing them, to make a point to not get caught up in matters of opinion. Now, the hard part with this even too, Scott, is people debate on what is a matter of opinion.
Right.
And that's a conversation that we can certainly have on another episode. But for now, making it very clear what Romans 14 is talking about here, Paul just says there are such things as matters of opinion, even when it comes to this aspect of faith. In chapter 14, verse 1, Paul writes, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. He goes on and talks about esteeming one day over another. Some looks at every day as equal. And these points, the eating of food and the celebrating of days, Scott, these are things to what you were bringing up would have very much resonated with people of a Jewish background, people of a pagan background, and things they would struggle with to different degrees. Some would be weak in their faith and didn't think that they could or couldn't do things, but they really were able to, and there would be people strong in their faith. And Paul's admonition is, don't quarrel over these things. As long as they're not going against doctrine, you find the sincere faith in them, you find the image of God in them, and build them up. You go on into verse 13 of this chapter, and I think it just makes it really clear what the motivation for us needs to be as we're interacting with people who we might disagree with on matters of opinions. He says in verse 13, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. Key pieces to this, Scott, that I'm seeing here. The idea is we can focus on the wrong thing entirely. Verse 17, he says, you're focusing on what unites us being eating and drinking. He says, that's totally wrong. What unites us is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's an understanding to find out what that doctrine looks like, to see what God has said about those things, but that is what unites us, not about this eating and drinking business. And then you get into verse 19, he talks about we're pursuing what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. It's not just one person or a small group of people's job to do the upbuilding in the body. Every single person who's brought into the family of God through Christ has a role to build up everyone else and to be built up by them. That's what the mutual part is, that we can encourage one another and find this beautiful relationship in Jesus through his people.
It's interesting to take this to an example of the scriptures. And when you were talking, it just reminded me so much of the book of Philemon. And really the situation that's going on there, you talk about a potential divisive issue that had come up was a master in Philemon and his servant Onesimus, who leaves him and obviously finds Paul and obeys the gospel and he becomes as opposite at what Onesimus's name means. He becomes useful as he had been useless. But there's something that Paul says, this whole chapter or this whole book is amazing, but there's something that Paul says to Philemon that I think is so powerful for us in verse 15. He says, for perhaps it was for this reason that he was separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. What an amazing example of what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Philemon had a choice to make now. He had a choice of whether or not he was going to do that, if he was going to accept Onesimus back, if he was going to treat him only as a slave, or if he was going to treat him as a brother. You imagine in the first century, and certainly it's been in other times as well, where you would have a master and a slave in the same congregation, and how you're going to treat one another, and the importance of still treating each other as Christ would, and as we have talked about on previous podcasts. But you have the same thing here. You still have the choice of what I'm going to do. And so we can talk in big picture of things. This is what it looks like from a scriptural standpoint. Well, now you're getting into real situations. What was Philemon going to do? What would I do in this situation? And what it ultimately comes down to, as he says here, that this is bigger than his usefulness in the flesh. This is about him and the Lord. This is about my relationship as a brother, as a sister in Christ, in the Lord. And therefore, we have all things in common. And that's such a wonderful thing to talk about, sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to actually put into practice. And going back to Romans 14, going into chapter 15, you just really have this, it's amazing to me how often it's these little things that we allow to divide us, or we focus on somebody sat in my seat, or something, somebody likes another team, or whatever the case may be. It's amazing what people get upset about and allow them to be divided over nonsense, quite frankly.
And those aren't even matters of faith.
No,
like when
not
we're
at
talking
all.
About opinions, it's matters of people think that they're really soul scarring or soul weighing situations, and we get wrapped up in such lesser things. And to that example of Philemon that you even brought up, we can talk about this in concept, right? Well, okay, we have matters of opinion. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different aspects of how we were raised or ways of thinking that we're trying to conform ourselves to Christ. We're looking for that bicycle wheel of unity that we're all pointing into the center and focusing on Jesus. But with Onesimus and Philemon, you're talking about very personal baggage. You're talking about a relationship in the past that has had rockiness and division and tension. And now it's a choice of, okay, Jesus has now entered the picture of this relationship. Now you are brothers in Christ. I think about all the different people from opposite ends of so many different spectrums, political spectrums, wealth spectrums, just physical spaces. And Jesus brings them together. Can they have all things in common? If you don't think so, you don't know my God. You don't know the God of the Scriptures. And I think Romans 15 just is this beautiful picture of that.
Even his apostles. You know, we normally go to this, and it's worthy of talking about, is Simon the Zealot and Matthew. Mm-hmm. They were only willing to be together because of Jesus. But that's what brings everyone together, to your point. It's amazing what we allow to separate us rather than really focusing on what the thing is that brings us together.
And that's really what we want to end on, is this choice to focus on Christ and letting that influence how we see everyone around us, whether there's somebody that's very similar to me in the body of Christ or whether it's somebody that I would have no other reason to interact with besides the fact that I have all things in common with them through Jesus. Romans 15, 1 through 7 is where we want to leave you with today as you listen. And as we read this, I just want to encourage you, listener, to think about how this applies to you. Where are you the strong one in the faith? Where are you the weak one in the faith? And where can you be building up your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you simply sitting on the sidelines and letting other people in the church serve you, or just kind of passively being present without actually engaging in the body? Or do you have a unique opportunity, as you do, but are you taking advantage of this opportunity to build up those around you, to stir others up into the love that comes from Jesus? Romans 15, 1 through 7 says it this way: "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.' For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. May you this week be pursuing the harmony with other believers that is in accordance with Christ Jesus, that you can see the image of God in them, and that you can see the image of God in your actions toward them, that we can all be building one another up so that this church, this body of believers, is a bright and shining city set on a hill, that the world might know that you are from God." Thanks for listening. Show your support by leaving a review on your podcast app and share this episode with someone you want to encourage. If you have questions or would like to get in touch with us, go to youarefromgod.com. That's youarefromgod.com.